B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati on a Thursday, October 10th, game day. Patriots-Giants tonight here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. We got the pre-game show. So we got you covered up until 5:30 when Beadle and Gasper take over to get you game ready for week six as the Patriots look to go 6-0 against the New York football Giants.
I thought you were going to say against the dregs of the league.
Well, it goes without saying. We got Tony Maserati alongside in the Maz chair, Big Jim Murray in our update studio here in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Just opening thoughts on the game. And I'll just say this by saying...
You go first.
Yeah. You know, my thought is that it's another another two-plus touchdown deficit. It's not or a point spread. It's not going to be a competitive game. It's a nothing game. And we've had a bunch of those this year, so here's another one. But I can handle it. I can handle it. I like exhibition football, Maz. I'm firmly on record as saying that. I sink my teeth into those August games like you read about. I follow them. I watch them. I tape them. I watch them again. I'm fine with exhibition football. We've talked about this, right? So I just have a longer exhibition season. I can still sink my teeth into plenty of stuff. I still think there's plenty of things to watch tonight, and I'm not even being sarcastic. I mean, this is glorified exhibition football. This is going to be like that fourth preseason game where you always play the Giants, and it's going to be one of those nights, which is fine. I can handle those nights. I can talk about those nights. I can engage on those nights. And so here it is. I'm happy to engage on this night. So there's things that I'm looking to see in this ball game. I'm not looking to see who wins. I'm not looking to see how they win. I'm more looking to see, like I would an exhibition game, what are they doing? Who are they doing it with? How do certain players look, et cetera, et cetera? So I've got a whole list. You, can you handle this kind of night?
Hell yeah, I can handle it. Of course I can handle it. Please. Murray. I've been working in this town for 30 years. I can handle it.
You two turd polishers. This is a root canal tonight in every way, shape, and form.
So Murray can't handle it.
There's a reason that these tickets on the secondary market are like $60 right now, because everyone knows what the outcome's going to be. Everyone knows the Giants have no chance. The weather's going to be a complete disaster. So it's mostly, I think, especially early, going to be unwatchable because of what the conditions are going to be. So expect hit the under. That's my recommendation. Anyone that watching this tonight, if you want to get a little juice on it, you want to feel better about watching this thing, slam the under. I think it's 44.5 last I checked. Hit the under. The Patriots will win. The outcome is already determined because the Giants have no shot. If they had some of their weapons, we'd probably get more of a game tonight. But I can't sit here and be like, well, I'm super interested in this one tonight. No. I can't do it.
See, I do wish that the Giants were, in, as much as it's a Thursday night game, which is a separate issue, I wish the Giants had more of their weaponry. I mean, you know, I'm not telling you it's perfect, but they have an intriguing young quarterback. They got a dynamic running back. They have a few receivers and a tight end that are actually pretty decent, I think. Like, there's enough there that, okay, that can be a reasonably entertaining product. I'll take it, but they don't. So, I'll tell you, for me, here's what I do want to see, because, again, the weather's going to be atrocious, apparently, right? And, the wind is really the factor more than anything else. Shouldn't this be a night where they can run the ball? Shouldn't this be a night where really they can line up and run the ball, run over the Giants? Sure. Shouldn't they be able to do that tonight?
I would think, and especially based on the second half of the game against the Washington Redskins. Yeah, they were able to do it, and that's what I hope the focus is on. And so this is where I am a little bit interested in this. Does the quarterback want that tonight, even with the bad conditions? No, I'm serious, because you've now had him complaining openly for the last couple of weeks about the way the offense runs and acting as if this team was 3-2. They're not. They're 5-0. They'll be 6-0 after tonight, but grumpy Gus Brady... Let's go. Well, I don't know. I just work here, guys. Is he still going to want to sling it all over the place so he can get better stats? Because that's what it feels like right now, which annoys the hell out of me, because I'll typically defend all things Brady, but it's gotten a bit annoying over the last couple of weeks with him.
See, there you go, Murray. There's a spirit. There's a storyline for you right there. The continued offensive tug and pull. Absolutely. That's on my list. Run heavy or pass heavy. What did the Vikings run for last week on this Giants team? Over 200 yards as a team, I think. And was it Dalvin Cook who had the big game? You know,
yeah.
the Giants can be run on. You had success in the second half running the ball. It may be a tough passing night. Yet, as you mentioned, the grumpy Gus there behind center is chirping about, he's his little pity party. So what are they doing? Run heavy or pass heavy? I'm interested to see that. And then by extension, Tom Brady basically spat out a loogie when he was asked about his young tight ends. Will he throw to him? Because he had a little bit of success throwing to him last week. You wouldn't know it listening to him. But does he look, Philip Dorsett's out. Does he lower himself and deign to even look at Jacoby Myers and throw him a ball or two or get a target or two? Does he deign to do that with Ryan Izzo or Lacoste at tight end? Where's Damian Harris been? Be a nice night for him, don't you think?
All right, so, okay, there's another one. And I've already prepared myself to get mad when I see the inactives in a few hours and see that Damian Harris is inactive yet again. So that would be a nice surprise. Can he finally get on the field? Because they've been a bit banged up at running back. I doubt that Burkhead's going to play. He's questionable. And, of course, it was all a matter of time before he got injured. Let's see this kid you drafted in the third round.
Okay, there we go. There's another one. That's
right, coming around.
Yeah, see, here we go, Mark.
All right.
Let me give you a couple more. Michael Bennett's playing time. It's going down by the week. 15, not 50, 15, 1-5 snaps last week in Washington. And he said something about it the Friday before. Bill's being asked about it. They presumably are looking at receiver help, but their budget's tight, their roster's tight, whatever. And Bennett is your sixth highest paid player, and he played 15 snaps last week. Keep an eye on that. I'm keeping an eye on that. And not even necessarily what he does, but how much he does it, how much he plays. And that whole thing, I think that's worth keeping an eye on. I think overall in general, what prevents this from being a zero game is Daniel Jones and the weather. I mean, if it's a weather game, that could make it interesting.
Sure.
I mean, maybe it gets goofy.
Competitively, you mean. Yeah,
I miss sort of NFL games that are weather-related or sloppy. I miss the sloppy fields. We don't get any sloppy fields anymore, ever. And I just think there's, the number of weather games, I don't feel like we get as many as we used to. So I always like a weather game. And you got to admit, Daniel Jones has got a little something going on.
No question. Yeah. Look, again, I went, it was one series, at least, in terms of detailed look at him. And that was that game here in the preseason that I got to see him. I saw some highlights from some of the other preseason stuff. But in terms of the possession he played against the Patriots, because I think it was just one, if I remember.
It's the first one, yeah.
Yeah. I thought he looked pretty good. I went, this guy's got something. Like, that he's got size, clearly, which allows him to throw over the line. And then on top of it, I thought he was accurate. I thought he was pretty good, let alone the game he then played later in the year down in Tampa when they finally put him in the lineup. There's something there with that guy.
Yeah, I want to see the whole game operation. Getting the guys in and out of the huddle, his command at the line of scrimmage, him looking at the defense, checking, those little things that you don't see when you're just watching snippets of a guy. So I'd be interested to see that. And again, so I think Daniel Jones and the weather, just that alone is something.
I want to see a bad night from both kickers, okay, just for the comedy of it.
So here are two things I put on my list. I want to see Mike Nugent kicking into the wind, how that goes. And I want to see Jake Bailey punting with the wind.
Oh.
See if he can rip off is there a chance for him to rip off a 70-yarder or something?
I want
tonight?
80.
I mean, honestly, what direction is the wind going to be blowing in here? It's a nor'easter, so it's blowing. We're coming.
Blowing towards the lighthouse, it should be then.
No, I think it would be just the opposite.
Oh, whatever.
I think it would be going, which is what you want. I think you want it going, because it usually
from
goes
from the lighthouse.
It usually goes from the lighthouse, and Bill will talk your face off if you ever ask him about this. If you ask him anything on his roster, anything that is real, again, he'll shoot a snot rocket at you. But
you're trying to do it with the best for the team.
the wind pattern, it usually comes from the lighthouse to the other end in a right to left direction. That's usually how the wind blows there. And that's the big one. So if that's what's happening tonight, I want to see the Patriots pinned inside their 10 with Jake Bailey, not with a short snap, but his full, whatever that is, 12 yards, whatever he lines up back there. So, and he has to boom it. And I want to see him with the wind and see if we can get a 70-yarder, 80-yarder out of the guy.
If there's a strong wind, he's going to work to knock down that sucker inside the 20. He'll kick it right out of the end zone. I how I feel about the punter. I love the guy. As for Nugent, can I ask a simple question?
Into the wind.
Has a guy ever attempted a field goal and have the ball end up behind him? Seriously, that guy, he's got no leg. Oh, boy, does he kick the ball soft. Like, you know what? He's not as big as I remember either for some reason. When he stepped out there, I went, this little weenie's their kicker now? Like, he is. He's a little peewee out there. He's a squirt.
Right, he looks like a jockey.
He does. That's a good analogy, jockey. That's it. The Patriots have a jockey as a kicker. Let's hope he doesn't continue to kick like a jockey. I do. I wonder. Like him into the wind? Oh, God, please. That ball could end up behind him.
Okay, so I actually got a lot of things on my list. Things I want to see tonight. I want to talk a little bit about, well, a little bit more on the weather and how that affects the game. I want to talk about the Giants and how they've chosen to build their team and really focusing on the Saquon Barkley pick. I think you know how I feel about that. I want to talk about Gronkowski tonight on television. I think that's worth hitting on. How about Thursday night football in general? I used to hate this freaking product. I used to hate Thursday night. My feelings on that have evolved a little bit. I want to get into that. Maz has a thought on the NFL and the state of the league after the last couple weeks. I want to get into that. So all that on the table, and we'll take your calls coming up next. Okay, we got you covered until 5:30, and we'll start with you next at 617-779-0985.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Jones takes the snap, back to throw, steps up, he's going to run. Jones to the five, touchdown Giants! Daniel Jones on a 7-yard run on a 4th and 5 from the 7, and the Giants have tied it up with 1:16 to go.
So it is too bad that the Giants lost last week. It's too bad they're without their top four offensive players. That kind of sucks. But I think Daniel Jones makes it interesting, and I think he can run. So keep an eye on that.
He's still got Golden Tate and Darius Slayton, who he threw a touchdown to, his lone touchdown last week. So it's not like he's completely bereft of any weapons.
He's got a little something, and he can run on his own, and sometimes that is problematic for you. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Giants offense. I'm sorry. I just don't think they have enough. And so, you know, so they have Golden Tate. Stephon Gilmore will cover him. Then what? Like, what's the guy's name? Slayton?
Yeah, Darius Slayton.
Yeah, good luck with him.
And Gilmore sucked the last few weeks, too. So
Yeah,
keep an eye on that. Come on, Maz. Here we go.
Listen, thoughts. I told you stuff I want to watch. I didn't tell you. I think the game would be close.
No, one of the things not worth watching is the outcome. Like, that's not, it's just like, I honestly, this is a preseason game for me where I think there's a lot of storylines within sort of who they're playing, how they approach it. But one of the storylines not worth following tonight is the outcome, just like the preseason. So there you go. That's the state of the Patriots right now in the NFL. But first on the list is the thing that you guys hit on, and that is grumpy pants there. If they turn around and hand the ball off 50 times tonight, you know, is Tommy okay with it? Because he hasn't been. And if he doesn't put up big passing numbers, is he going to be okay?
You know, that's a good question. I had not considered that until Murray mentioned it. It is. It's a good point. Like, you know, he's all yanked to begin with, for crying out loud. And now you're going to have the wind and rain, and he's going to have to throw checkdowns or hand the ball off all night?
Love it.
And Schefter just confirmed Burkhead is not going to play tonight, too. So
there's another old guy out of the lineup.
Oh, let's see if they let Damian Harris out of his cage, for crying out loud.
All right, we continue. Or we go to your thoughts. Mark in Rhode Island, hi.
How you doing? My thoughts are with Brady that some of his contract incentives that he should be getting or didn't get last year maybe had to do with beef up his stats.
He doesn't have those this year.
He doesn't?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Not the issue. Doesn't have them this year.
Yeah, they guaranteed those.
So, well, they wrapped him in. Like, there's right, no, right, there's right. no, He doesn't have them. You know, last year he had them, he didn't hit them. But to me, it's less the actual dollar figure than what it represents. Are you taking care of me or not? Are you rewarding me or not? And those incentives did not reward him. And just making him have incentives didn't reward him. I think that sort of hacked him off. Now, the numbers this year, what does he care about? The lifetime records, the contract year, going out in a blaze of glory. Does he want his final year to be an MVP? Like all that sort of stuff. He cares about it. I just can't tell you why exactly.
I'll tell you, like, just circling back to the first part of that, when you really think about it, what you just said, they made him play for incentives.
That is.
Tom Brady. Like, on the one hand, they want to celebrate the fact that Tom's about team. Tom's willing to take less. And then, okay, you have to take less, Tom. We're going to give you a lesser role. You'll have lesser weapons. And, by the way, that's how you're going to earn your money. Huh? What? How does that work? Like, that was a bad look.
It's like taking Ray Bourque to arbitration.
Oh, really? In retrospect, like, really, you really think about that? That was a bad, bad move.
Tim and Southie, your thoughts.
Felger, I don't understand how you can like this football. Like, this is the most stressful season I've ever been through. This entire season has been like exhibition, week 17, and Gronk going over the middle all rolled into one. Like, I'm just spending the whole night holding my breath just screaming, please get up, please get up, please get up. It's horrible. I don't like it.
Okay, so I'm not saying it's been a great season. I'm just telling you I can make the best of nights like this. I can sink my teeth into a ball game, even if I know who's going to win. That's all I'm kind of saying. I mean, this has not been a compelling season, obviously. It's tough. But be that as it may, I still think there's things to follow with the team and still things to, I don't know, that interest me. And this whole sidebar story with Brady and the offense and his state of mind is, to me, a compelling story.
It is. Absolutely it is.
And I think it continues tonight. Or, you know, maybe done. Maybe he just finally puts on a happy face and is happy that they win in a blowout fashion, even though he doesn't have trusted guys to throw to. Can I just get that Brady back?
I mean, the one thing I do wonder about in a game like tonight is whether or not Bill has them so conditioned, Tom in particular, to just say, hey, look, Thursday night's about survival. So Tom knows going into the week that it's about survival. We're going to rest some guys, in or around the game one way or another. We're just looking to get through the thing. So let's win the game, get out of Dodge, and then we can start really cranking it up again. That's the only part that makes me wonder whether Brady will look at this game and go, we're just going to hand the ball off tonight. I knew that was going to happen either way, so I'm all right with it. We'll see.
Tony in Ludlow. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. The one thing that worries me is the field. This is a game where Tom could get hurt. He could bust an ankle. Somebody could step on him like they did to, that born-again boy in Kansas. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Is Pat Mahomes born again?
I have no idea. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I've never heard him described that way.
I honestly, Brady, the health of players in this game doesn't concern me in the least bit because they're not playing on grass.
I know.
Like, if it were grass, okay, fine. It's a muddy field. The turf will give, you know, especially like what the turf looked like. Was it when they played Miami? Didn't a chunk of turf come up in that game? One of those games early in the year?
Last week, Brady took out a huge divot with his
when he
knee
slid.
Brace. Yeah.
Yeah. There was one, though. There was a play where one of the linemen of the Dolphins planted, like a big chunk of turf came up.
Yeah.
I mean, literally like a 2x2 square foot. It was ridiculous. So if this were natural grass, I would feel that way. But I don't. I'm not worried about injury in this game any more than any other. Am I nuts to feel that way?
Nope. Pat in Worcester. Hi, Pat.
Hey, you know, like, Brady's always complaining about his receivers. He hasn't got enough receivers. I'd like to know, how many yards does he pass for up to date this season as compared to his good years? Do you know how many yards his offensive passes?
Well, Patty, it's still up there. He threw for 300-plus last week. I can tell you that much. So he put up, he put up big numbers last week. I don't know where he ranks in the league. I'll give it to you in 1 second if you just want to stand by. They're third in the league in points, for crying out loud. So it's not like the offense has suffered.
They're sixth in the league in passing yardage.
Okay. Sixth in the league in yards. So
Go ahead.
Yeah, they or he, So he individually is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's like ninth. He's ninth in the league in yards per game, which is how I would do it because there's not everyone's played the same amount of games.
Exactly. And that I was just going to say that. The team is sixth in the league in pass yards per game.
So, that ain't chopped liver. It ain't horrible. Is he looking to be one? Is he in this last year or his contract year or this year for whatever reason looking to be MVP kind of numbers? And is that part of his frustration? I don't know. Again, I can't tell you. I just know that he's sort of expressing frustration.
I mean, it is true. When you look at the numbers, they're throwing it plenty. They're throwing it plenty.
They set a record last week for attempts in the first half. He dropped back 34 times, which is the most in his career. Phil and Rivera. Go ahead, Phil.
Guys, I hear everything you're saying about Brady, and I love him. I won't kiss him, but I love him. But I'm telling you, he's looking at this team, and he's got all his wide receivers are running backs. You have Josh Gordon, who's just an average receiver. Edelman's banged up. His ribs are hurt. If they don't sit him tonight, I don't. The guy's just playing with pure heart. And this is what I mean. Getting rid of Ben Watson, that hurts. Okay, getting rid of all those guys for Brown hurts.
Phil, I'll grant you that. The defense is the best in the league, or one of them, and they're the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. He has a great team.
But don't you feel down the road that he's not looking at all the regular season games. He's looking down the road, like, who am I going to go to in those games in overtime to catch that ball secure? You know what I mean?
I understand. I understand the offense could be better, but the team itself is the best in the league and will be favored, I think, every single week the rest of the way. Maybe they're a slight dog at Philly or Baltimore, one of those road games. Maybe, but I doubt it. They'll be favored every single game the rest of the way through the playoffs.
Yep. And we asked this question yesterday. Again, if you're going to compare this to 07, you're going to start talking about an undefeated season. I like the idea of doing it with defense better than offense.
But the point is, are we worried about what Brady's surrounded by or the state of the team? Because the state of the team is excellent. The state of the team is just fine.
No, it's the first thing. It's what he's surrounded by. It's the first thing. And that's what Brady's concerned about, is that, again, it just changed. The whole thing has flipped. The recipe has completely flipped. It used to be, just to give you rough numbers, two-thirds offense, one-third defense. Now it's the other way. And Brady's having a hard time dealing with that.
Well, let's see tonight. You know, let's see tonight. Does he – Philip Dorsett is out. They've had a whole – well, not a whole week. Whatever. They've had days to know that Jacoby Myers is going to be in that spot. And I know they didn't have a full practice, but did maybe Brady spend a couple minutes with Jacoby Myers this week to say, look, let's get something going this week? Did he? You know, they released Ben Watson, so he doesn't get Ben Watson. He has Ryan Izzo and the Lacoste guy. Did he spend any time this week saying, all right, we had something last week, let's build on it this week? And does he lower himself to look at those guys this week?
Good question.
So that's something to watch.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, as much as we sit there and say, tonight's a night to run the ball, if you are going to throw it, it's built for their kind of passing game, which is, you know, short passes, pick plays, the whole nine yards. Whether it's Damian Harris or even Sony Michel or whoever else you want to throw in there, James White, they should be able to throw the ball tonight when they need to.
Bob and Easton, you have 1 minute, so just give it to us.
The leaves change color, pumpkin beer comes out, and Felger and Mas create controversy. For years, you've been saying that Brady should be bitching and complaining about his contract. This is the first year that Tom Brady has been a free agent at the end of the year, right?
Yes.
So maybe this is Tom Brady's way of answering questions about who's surrounded about him, because isn't his contract based on incentives?
No.
That you just mentioned?
It's not.
Hasn't it been for the last few years?
No, this year hasn't been. This year there's no incentives in there.
But isn't this his way of finally saying, hey, enough is enough? Is this way of saying, I'm done with this? Come on, guys. And by the way, you did this last year with the offense, and what happened? They won the Super Bowl. I mean, enough is enough, guys.
Yeah,
When did we ever say they weren't going to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I haven't won it this year. I just told you, they're going to be favored every single week the whole rest of the way. I'm not down on the team. The offense is not what it was, which I think is just fine. I'm more than okay with that. This is Brady's, the sense of his, or the source, excuse me. This is the source of his agitation. Contract. Okay, fine. I mean, that's an answer, Bob. That might be the case. I'd feel a little better if he just came out and said it. I mean, no one does, so I can't really expect that. But is there a way to complain about your contract and state your case about your contract without being so demeaning to the young players around you? Like, is there a way to do both?
Sure, there's a way. Yeah, look, and the other thing is, maybe it's a combination of the whole thing. Like, maybe there's a build-up element to it that you look at and go, well, wait a minute, you made me play for incentives. Now you're making me go into the final year of my contract. You're giving me crap around me to throw to on top of it all. Like, I'm tired of doing you guys favors all the time.
Okay, it's a weather game coming up tonight. How do the Patriots fare in weather games? We discuss that after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, Mez, I saw this stat somewhere. I think it was Benny that gave it to us. Someone dug this up. When the Patriots play a football game where the winds are 20 miles an hour or more,
mm-hmm.
or greater,
uh-huh.
the Patriots under Tom Brady, 20 miles per hour or greater, are 29-4. That's an .880 winning percentage.
Ooh, pretty good.
That's really good.
.880?
Correct.
Well, that's high.
But you know how I feel about these stats. So then my automatic default is, okay, so what's the record or what's their winning percentage when winds are below 20 miles an hour? And it's like 800. It's like, you know, Tom Brady's career winning percentage is .779. He's a career, and again, this is regular season. These are all regular season numbers. Career, he's 212-60. 212-60, that's a .780 winning percentage. And as we go through splits, so like there's a split, meaning
between 75% and 80%.
In anything that you look up, the Patriots win 7 to 8 ball games out of 10, whether it's windy or not windy, hot or cold, inside or outside, home or away, name the split, and they are 7 or 8 out of 10. And it's why these splits are sort of silly. They're 29-4 when winds are 20 miles an hour or greater. .880 winning percentage. Their winning percentage in all games is .780 under Tom Brady. What's the diff? And so, you know, I just start to look at, because I heard that stat last week with Sony Michel. When Sony Michel scores a rushing touchdown, they're 11-0. Well, you know what they are when he doesn't score a rushing touchdown? 11-0 or 10-1. Like, these stats are kind of pointless because they crush all these splits. Every split. You know, I looked at Brady's winning percentage by month. Okay, Tom Brady's winning percentage by month. September, .719. October, .803. November, .750. December, .824. 7 or 8 out of 10 in everything. In everything. So they're usually going to win. They're usually going to win whether it's windy or not, hot or not, inside, outside, home, away, September, November, October, December, name it. They're usually going to win 70 to 80% of the time.
You want more?
I want more.
Okay, I'm going to give you more. Okay, listen up, listen closely. There's a little variety in these, but nonetheless, listen closely. When Tom Brady plays on Sunday, .771. Monday, .696. Thursday, .846. Saturday, 1,000. 7 games, he's 7-0 in those games. When it's an early game, .799. When it's a late game, meaning late afternoon, .777. Night games, .716. Outside, .770. Inside, .786. Retractable roof. They even break it down by that crap.
Yes, they do.
.750. It's across the board. And I'll tell you what, I learned this years ago. Years and years ago. I remember one time I looked up Clemens' career stats, Roger Clemens in different places, home, road, AL East, you know, blah, blah, blah. They were identical across the board. And you know what really tells you more than anything else? When you get those that kind of consistency, that is greatness. That is true greatness. Like, so do we really need to be told that Tom Brady's great? Like, no matter where you put him, he is. He's going to win 75% of the time.
Give or take. The only thing they're under 700 is in Super Bowl, 6 of 9. But if they win this one, 7 of 10, 700.
Right. Give him another game, and let me tell you. And the other thing is, like,
You said the Saturday set,
7 games. 7 games, okay. Or 7-0.
If
small
he loses,
sample.
If he loses one,
778.
Exactly.
Or eight, whatever it is. You know, they're same area. Like, if he were to play 10 games on Saturday, he'd probably go 8-2.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and again, there are other variables. Sometimes you have variables that cross. Well, it's a Saturday game, but it's on, you know, it's outside on the road with temperatures under 20 degrees. I'm telling you, if you break it down to and cross-reference even, yeah, what about when it's cold and it's windy at the same time and they're playing on Thursday night? I'm telling you, 80%. It'll be 80%. He comes in 80% all the time, no matter where you put him.
So those stats get a little, I'm with you because I've done it too. And so, you know, here we are. I mean, I would say they're a good weather team. I mean, they just are. And especially most of those windy games are at home. They're supposed to have the windiest stadium in the league. They vie with, well, apparently Shea Stadium, when the Jets used to play there, was the windiest. And Giants Stadium can certainly be windy, but it's different since it went to MetLife because it's a little more enclosed. And it's a little, maybe even the field's a little bit lower than it was in the other place. So MetLife isn't as windy as Giants Stadium used to be. I think you now have the windiest stadium in the league.
So forgive me if you said this because I wasn't listening.
No, it's okay.
Did you say Pittsburgh?
No.
Pittsburgh's another one.
But they've also closed that up a little bit,
oh, they
too.
Have.
It's not as bad. It used to be kicking into one end was just a joke, and now those numbers have moderated a little bit because I think they did some sort of construction in one end of the stadium.
Because those kicks that Justin Tucker had there at the end of the game last week, they sailed to the right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no two ways about it. And so I just think that, you know, the variables, obviously it speaks to Brady. It also speaks to Bill. Like, when you are, is there a better guy in the league at knowing the routine going into a different, you know, variable? Like, Thursday night game. I'd be, you know, Bill knows how to prep for Thursday night games better than anybody else does.
The only thing he doesn't pay attention to is the condition of the actual ball they play with. That he completely ignores and knows nothing about.
Oh, you don't believe him on that one?
Oh, no. I know. I think to me, it makes perfect sense, Maz. For him to know about every blade of grass and every mile per hour, I think it makes perfect sense. Patriots fans.
I said this at the time of Deflategate. I'll say it again.
And Barstool. I think it makes perfect sense, folks, that he would spend all this time on the Oculus closing at kickoff in the Super Bowl. But when it comes to the actual condition of the ball that is touched on every single play.
He's Sergeant Schultz.
Go ask Tom. I don't know.
I mean, it is. It's such nonsense. Again, he talks about the way the blades of grass reflect the sunlight in Cincinnati. And that's not a lie. That is something that Mike Reese reported in one of those games that they played. I think it was in Cincinnati. I might be getting the location of the game wrong. And the year of Deflategate, I remember hearing, I think I said this on the air. They were going into Denver, I think, that year, late in the regular season. It was going to be really cold there. So Bill, during practice, took some of the air out of the ball.
During practice that week?
Yeah. Just to prep him for the fact that the ball wasn't going to go as far. So he wanted.
And in cold weather, because of the ideal gas law.
You mean he knew about the ideal
gas? Interesting.
Funny.
Yeah.
The science proved.
But anyway, back to the matter at hand. I just like to bring that, because he is so detail-oriented. And, just a weather guy, like he's huge on the weather. That's why part of the reason he walks the field and he knows. And again, because of the storm, I don't know exactly where it's coming, but generally the wind comes out of the lighthouse end and it goes left to right across the field. And so if you're kicking into the south end zone away from the lighthouse, the ball's going to tail to the right. And Patriots kickers know that. Brady knows that. And I, you know, it used to be fun to see teams come in on windy days and quarterbacks sailing the ball. When they're going to that end, sailing it high over the receivers' heads when they're throwing to the right, because that's where the wind's going. So if it's coming out of the northeast, that's the way it's going to be tonight, isn't it? Anyway, Bill's going to be prepared for it, like he's prepared for everything. So we will continue with your thoughts on it. Right back to your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, I'm WBZ TV meteorologist Barry Burbank, and I've got your game day forecast. And it looks like it's going to be wet and windy for the entire game. Now, the rain will be variable in intensity at times. It may be coming down harder. At times, it may lighten up a little bit to be drizzly and just light rain. But the point is, it's going to be wet through the whole period. It looks like the temps is going to be fairly constant, right around 52 degrees from kickoff to halftime to the fourth quarter. So that's it. Wet and windy. Anyway, enjoy the game and go Pats.
Those TV folks, the Go Pats thing. On TV, you got to say it.
Oh, it is. It's such a Hooterville thing. Oh,
anyway, enjoy the game and go Pats.
Oh yeah.
The weather people or the TV people in Indianapolis putting on jerseys and be like someone wearing a helmet on a show, you know?
Yeah, but that's mocking. Anyway, so there's the weather.
Tonight. Anyway, enjoy the game and go Pats.
Thank you, Barry. Okay, back to your thoughts, folks. Mary in Marshfield. Hi, Mary.
I'm sorry. That was pretty funny. Anyway, yeah, I just really feel like tonight is the night. If you're going to do it now. Take that poor kid out of the mothballs. You need to play Damian Harris. You need to run him. You have to see what happens with this kid. Julian Edelman, great. You're going to kill this guy by the end of the season if you keep going to him 100% of the time. So tonight's the night. I'm really going to be watching at the edge of my seat here to see what Bill's game plan is.
Okay, Mary, thank you. So Burkhead is out.
Yeah, he's out.
Was Burkhead out last week too, though,
yeah,
right?
He was, straight weeks now.
And so was Harris. So I don't know what that means.
The only difference is the weather, right? That it's going to be kind of an ugly, messy night. You know, you're also without Dorsett. So that sort of
opens up a roster spot anyway.
Right. I mean, like,
is this a hint from Mike Reese, who tweeted about 20 minutes ago, second straight game Burkhead will miss. Sony Michel, James White, and Brandon Bolden are your top running backs, with rookie Damian Harris hoping to break through on the game day roster.
I don't know what the hint would be that he's
that he knows he actually is finally going to play.
Hinting that he's going to play or hinting that he's not.
It's a bad sign if you're behind Brandon Bolden on the running back depth chart. And I know they love Bolden. You know, he's a good role player. I'm not dumping on Bolden, but geez, like, let's be serious. The other thing is, I did look up the particulars of that game last week between the Vikings and the Giants that you mentioned. If you take out three carries by Cousins for 3 for 3 yards, like, yep. You know, they ran the ball 31 times. For 208 yards.
Yeah.
Almost 7 a carry.
Yeah.
I thought 7 a pop.
Big game on the day. Big day on the ground. So the Pats going to come out, no huddle, 5 wide, hurry up like they did last week? You can run on this team.
It does. It feels like the Giants' defense is bad. I mean, it's a bad defense. So you should be able to just completely truck these clowns.
Let's grab Pearson and Quincy. Yes, Pearson.
Real quick before I get to it, Murray and Mass, I told you the Cowboys suck and Jason Garrett sucks too. Just saying that real quick.
You were right.
But on Brady, ever think maybe the most competitive guy we've seen around here, or one of the most, is upset because he sees his offense. All the games they've hung 30 are against 4 teams that have 1 combined win between them. They're awful. They suck. And the only team that they actually got in a rock fight against was a defense. The offense almost cost them the game. So maybe he's looking down the road, and if you just use your eyes, you can see the offense does not look like it has in the past. It looks like it's struggling. There's a lot of 3-and-outs. There's, 8 punts a game almost? Maybe he's like, oh, well, if I go deep into the season with this team or into the playoffs and I can't do anything on offense, the defense is bound to have a bad game eventually.
Well, so if he's projecting trouble for the offense, I get it. But I would just go back to how's his team. I mean, you just said there at the end that the defense is bound to spring a leak. I mean, is that the way to... I don't know. I don't feel that way.
I'm not convinced of that.
I think their defense is rock solid, as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, the one team that obviously will challenge you more than any other, assuming health, is Kansas City. Right? They just have so many weapons. They can do a lot of different things. They're hard to defend. And, you know, the Patriots' defense wasn't great last year up until the end. And, you know, they shut them down that first half in Kansas City. Now, the Chiefs didn't have the ball all that much, but they played a good defensive half.
But either way, I asked it 3 weeks. Is everyone prepared for this to be a defense-first team?
I am.
And I think there's an adjustment period going on here. Because, oh, well, what about the offense? What about the weapons? They're winning on defense. You can't have – it's very rare that you're one in both. That you have the best offense and the best defense. Usually you're sort of one or the other, or tilted one way or the other. It's just generally the way it goes, almost always. And this, now it's tilted towards defense. Can we handle it? We can't. I'm coming to learn we can't.
Oh, again, because I think people are just so accustomed to making it about the quarterback and the offense, and it's fun to watch, and it's shiny and exciting and all of that stuff. And at the end of the day, all that matters is the win. That's really all that matters. Like, I just think people are getting too swept up in the ornaments, you know, the lights and the shininess and of it. And what they're doing now is perfectly fine.
Robin Melrose. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Did you hear the part of Brady's press conference when he was asked about practice?
Oh, yeah. We played it last night. We played it yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed that. I would have loved to heard your reaction.
Well, what's yours?
I hope you weren't driving when you heard it for the first time.
well, we played him, and then we played Allen Iverson because he sounded a lot like an NBA superstar. What was your takeaway?
So I heard two things from him. I heard him saying he didn't need it, and then I heard him saying it's really important for him to have practice with the new guys. Well, if it's so important, why are you missing OTAs?
Thank you.
Why are you not prepared for tonight?
So, I don't know about being prepared for tonight, but the whole thing about not putting as much work in with his young, untrusted receivers as he could, I think is totally legit.
Absolutely.
He could be here in the offseason starting that process, and he's not. So, yeah, that comment yesterday was, I thought the first part was practice. You know, I do 120, 110, 120 a year. I've been doing it for 20 years. I pretty much know what I'm doing. This is all basically what he said. I know what I'm doing out there. It's like riding a bike. And then the second half was, well, but it's really not about me. It's about me and my guys. And this is a very highly coordinated sport and having to do it together. And I think that second piece was just lip service. I mean, it's true, but I don't know how much he believes it, because when he was asked in the moment about it the week before, he said, and this was with Jim Gray when he said it, another podium thing, where he said, I can't do anything for them and they can't do anything for me. It's all about doing our own jobs, which came off, again, another real shaky comment by him.
I mean, and I'll acknowledge that is so unlike him. That is so out of character, because he gets it. He's always gotten it. He understands what's required. Like, it's diva behavior. It really is. It's diva behavior.
Practice? I mean, that's almost what it sounded like.
Yeah, it did sound like that. And the fact that he doesn't show up alone should tell you that. You know, the mere fact that he's blown off the OTAs the last couple of years, and you can cite the family excuse and whatever you want, but he just looks at it and says, I don't have to do it this way anymore. Time for people to adapt to me.
Zach in Chicago, hi.
Hey, guys. So you just hit every factor, and now the Pats have like a 700-800 win percentage, but there's actually one where they have a 16% win percentage. You want to guess what it is?
16-1-6?
Yep.
How about on the road in the playoffs? No.
It's games over 80 degrees Fahrenheit. One win and six losses.
Is that true?
It's true.
Wow.
Look it up. It's pretty crazy.
Hey, so Zach, just tonight. Yeah, I was going to say, what was the temperature in Miami this year?
No, I was going to say, how many?
I bet it was this year.
Of those, how many were in Miami?
Had to be a lot of them.
Remember the Jacksonville game? We got our ass kicked. That was 97 sure. degrees. And all the other Miami games that were hot, we lost. I think the only win we had was this one hot game in Arizona, but it's an interesting statistic.
Very good. I like it. Thank you.
All right, fellas. Enjoy.
Okay, appreciate it. So there is one, the Heat. But is that as much a Miami thing as it is a Heat thing?
Yeah,
or maybe they're part and parcel. I don't know.
Yeah, it's worth noting, though.
Yeah, there you go. There's one.
Yeah, they suck in hot weather. Fortunately, football's a fall sport.
Mike and Danvers, quickly, go.
Hey, guys, how you doing? But before I make my point, I want to ask a question, because you guys in that last segment, has Tom Brady ever played on a Thanksgiving Day game?
Yeah,
that's
several.
My question.
Yeah, a handful.
Oh, okay. I'd be curious to know what that record is.
Yeah, it's about an 800 winning percentage would be my guess. Well,
okay, so your point's well taken then. I want to say something, because everybody's talking about the receivers, and I don't understand why there's so much conversation about the receivers. If you can name me one Pro Bowl player or one Hall of Fame player in the six Super Bowls that Brady's won, I don't think you can. I don't think there is one. So I don't understand what all the panic is about. He can win. He can win with average receivers, and I think he will this year too.
I agree 100%. In the Super Bowl winning years, did he have a single Hall of Fame player?
Well, you know.
What?
He says, you know, you talk about receipt. Do you count Gronk?
So there's one. You should count Gronk. You should absolutely count Gronkowski.
I mean, you know, Gronk is a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, Gronk is.
So there's one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not telling you there are a lot, but Gronk's a big one.
No question. No question. But the whole thing about the offense being fine, I also believe that too. It may not be what we're used to in the past, but I damn sure think if they put in the work and work on, meaning if Brady works on trusting these guys and working with these guys, it will get better and they will be better. And it may not be what he's used to, and it may not allow him to put up MVP numbers. But if they continue to put in the work, it will get better. I firmly believe that. Like, it usually does. A very consistent track record of getting better as the season it carries on and goes on. And we've seen it a million times with even Brady himself.
As long as they're willing to get better.
Right. So I fully think that's going to happen as well. And by the time you get to the end of the year, the offense will be better, even if the personnel stays exactly the same.
I think Bill saw this coming. I do, and I'll explain further if you want me to. But I think Bill saw this coming. And again, I'm not telling you it was his preferred route. I'm just telling you that after some of the offseason started to unfold, Bill knew we might have trouble on offense a little bit. We're not going to be what we were in the past. And so he built the team a certain way. That's what I feel.
Okay, we continue with that thought. Your thoughts on tonight. I want a quick take on the Giants and how they've built things down there in New York. We'll do that right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no spots.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.